It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm standing on the football field at Carnegie Mellon University, which will be the site of a big game this weekend between two strong Division III programs, CMU and the University of Chicago. Years ago, Chicago and CMU were playing in Rose and Sugar Bowls. Now, that's not happening at the D3 level, but nevertheless, they're playing competitive football, and at CMU, certainly successful football with a 5-3 record going into this weekend's game. I'm joined now by the longtime head coach of the CMU Tartans, Rich Lackner. Rich Lackner, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's a pleasure to be with you today.
You have been at CMU for a long, long time. You probably, with your record of 193 career victories, which is the fifth highest at the Division III level, could have moved on to D1, taken opportunities elsewhere. What has kept you here at CMU?
Well, I'm a Pittsburgh guy. I grew up in Mount Lebanon, went to Mount Lebanon High School, attended Carnegie Mellon, graduated in 1979, and at the time, our head coach, Chuck Clausing, asked me to stay on after graduation and become an assistant coach on his staff. And after 7 years on the staff, Coach Clausing leaves to go to the University of Pittsburgh. They elevate me to head coach at that time. And that was 30 years ago. My daughter took advantage of a Carnegie Mellon education here as one of the benefits, which was wonderful. I have a son who's a graduate of John Carroll and did graduate work and earned a graduate degree at Columbia in New York City. And there are a lot of family issues that were going on. My wife was battling several illnesses, and we wanted to take advantage of the UPMC doctors and network here. That kept us here for a number of years, and now that my dad is in a nursing home, I feel obligated to stay and assist with him as well. But it's a labor of love, and I just enjoy my job. I enjoy the kids here, the administration. Josh Center, my athletic director, is a wonderful guy, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, to be honest with you.
It's interesting that CMU and the University of Chicago are playing this weekend because these are two schools with long, storied college football histories that years ago had administrations that made the decision that while football is important, the priority is going to be education. What types of unique challenges does that present for you as a football coach?
Well, there's certainly nowhere to hide student athletes here academically at Carnegie Mellon. We're a world-class university in lots of different disciplines and curriculums. Just to give you an idea, over half of our players are in the engineering college here. About another third are in the business college, and then we have, of course, some who are studying the sciences and the liberal arts field, computer science, etc. There's great academic challenges on this football team, and they're willing to accept those challenges. They know that coming in, but their competitive nature in the classroom really does carry over onto the football field as well. And I've often talked to people about this and say that the competitiveness of these young men is not something they simply turn on and turn off. They're competitive in everything that they do.
You said something interesting. You said, you know, you can't hide a college football player here, and that is an obvious reference to the fact that some universities do that. They'll put an athlete in a less than challenging academic situation in order for them to be able to get by. Because that doesn't happen here, how do you advise your students? Because again, these are young men. They're boys, really. They're not. Some of them, I'm sure, many of them are not even adults yet. So they probably haven't learned how to manage their time. What do you tell them about how to do that?
Okay, well, first off, I have some credibility with the boys simply because I can talk the talk and walk the walk. I went to school here, so I understand those academic challenges, the pressures, the time commitment, and what it takes to be a successful student athlete here at Carnegie Mellon. The young men take advantage of everything that's available to them in terms of time with their professors, different study groups that they're involved with. I do advise them as to how I think they should attack their academics here. I think if you follow some of the things that maybe they were taught by their parents early on, go to all your classes, sit in the front row, introduce yourself to your professors, make a personal relationship with those professors, let them understand that you are a student athlete at Carnegie Mellon, invite them to the games. Don't be afraid to ask them for additional help. Go in during office hours. If you need tutoring, don't be afraid to ask for tutoring. All these kinds of things. The other thing, I've been here such a long time, I'm very familiar with a lot of the academic deans, department heads, etc. And it wouldn't be unusual for me to contact one of them and say to them, look, Joey's having some issues in his calculus class. If he hasn't approached you, maybe the advisor should sit down and talk with Jimmy and let's start to attack this problem now before he gets underwater.
And, I'm sure some of your student athletes come to you and say, Coach, I'm behind or I'm having problems. If they need to miss a practice or a film session, what happens there?
Yeah, we're sympathetic to those issues. They're what we try to do, if at all possible, is kind of have our cake and eat it too. Try to make arrangements with the professor, dean, department head, advisor, TA, whatever, to try to work out a time that is manageable for them during the day so that they can still come to practice. I've had some kids who have review sessions, let's say at 6:30, and our practices typically go to about 20 to 7, and they'll be excused at 10 after 6 to run down, shower up, and go to those review sessions. And I think one of the reasons we've been successful here at Carnegie Mellon is because we do keep our athletes, typically a lot of them, for 4 years. And the only way you do that, obviously, if they are academically eligible and they're doing well in school. And I'll give you an interesting statistic. Typically, semester in, semester out, our football players, and generally speaking, all of our student athletes, do outperform the student body here at Carnegie Mellon. And I think that has to do with the nature of a student athlete at CMU and their competitive nature. It's not something they simply turn on and turn off. It's they're competitive in almost everything that they do, every aspect of their life.
You mentioned something interesting, which is that you often have your football players here for all 4 years of their eligibility. Few, if any, of them are going to turn pro. Because you're a successful football coach, because you know this game so well and have a lot of experience, do you ever wonder, as happy as you are here, do you ever wonder what it would be like to coach guys that have a chance to go on to the NFL or at least the CFL or, some other form of professional football?
No, not really, to tell you the truth. I've had parents ask me, and they say, have you turned out any pros? And my response to them is, I've tons and tons of pros that we've turned out, professional doctors and professional engineers and professional businessmen and professional lawyers. And if you're talking about professional football players, no, we haven't turned those individuals out from Carnegie Mellon. But I think it's all relative. As proud as those Division I coaches are with all of those young men who've gone on to play professional football, believe me, I'm just as proud of my guys who graduate and go on to become professional engineers, doctors, lawyers, great fathers, have great families, raising wonderful children, and giving back to the community. So I'm every bit as proud of my graduates as I'm sure they are of theirs.
Years ago, the NCAA created a designation to honor student athletes, academic All-American, and schools set aside some room to acknowledge those awards, but it's more than just a little room here at CMU that you need to set aside, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. It's not a trophy case or that type of thing. It's an actual academic wall of fame, and we currently have 44 academic All-Americans. That program started in the mid-70s. We're currently ranked 8th in the country for all levels of football in terms of numbers of academic All-Americans. And just to give you an idea, the company that we keep, we're ranked 8th and Stanford's ranked 9th. So we are very, very proud of what we've been able to accomplish, not only on game day on Saturdays, but also that great combination of academics and athletics at Carnegie Mellon. I think the Academic All-American Award is the best and most significant award a young man can receive, simply because he has proven himself on the football field and in the classroom. It truly is a great honor.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Carnegie Mellon University head football coach Rich Lackner. You came here to play in the 70s as a linebacker and as a graduate of Mount Lebanon, which is a very good program. You probably could have gone a lot of other places. So what led you to come here?
Well, again, I'm a Pittsburgh guy. I wanted to go to a great school. I wanted to attend a great school, challenge myself. And certainly there are a lot of great schools in the Pittsburgh area, and Duquesne and Robert Morris and all the different Division II state schools, et cetera, along with a lot of great Division III schools in western Pennsylvania. But Carnegie Mellon is a world-class university, top 25 school in U.S. News and World Report. When I was accepted to Carnegie Mellon University, basically it was a no-brainer. I had a chance to play under a wonderful, wonderful man by the name of Joe Gasparilla, who really saved Carnegie Mellon football during the early 70s. Then Coach Clausing, I had an opportunity to work under a coach who's in the College Football Hall of Fame. So what a blessing to work under these two great men and set me up for the career that I so much love.
I mentioned at the outset the great history of Carnegie Mellon University football. Of course, years ago it was Carnegie Tech. And you brought up the fact that the program almost went under. What happened?
Well, I think, Coach Gasparilla was a part-time coach. He had played quarterback at Notre Dame. He was an architect. There was very little commitment by the university at that time. In comes Dr. Seiert. And Dr. Seiert decided to make a commitment to the football program and hire Chuck Clausing at that time. And Chuck had great, great, great success here at Carnegie Mellon. And, it was a wonderful experience for me to play under him, to coach under him, and now have an opportunity for the last 30 years to enjoy our own bit of success and make our own history here as a football staff and coach some wonderful players.
Carnegie Mellon is known for academics. It's known for the great engineering school and for being a leader in technology and for educating young people to take up careers in that field. It's probably a school that would not be any less regarded if it didn't have football, but would CMU be the same without football, in your opinion?
Oh, no way. There's no way. I think schools that have competitive athletic programs add a piece to the culture and the environment at the school. And the thing I like is, you know, our athletic director is a young man by the name of Josh Centaur, who has done a wonderful job. And if you look at all the different athletic programs within Carnegie Mellon, we've all experienced a lot of success over the years. So I think it really adds to the culture here at the university, and it's a very important part of the culture.
You've won 193 football games. You are one of the top Division III coaches in the history of the NCAA, and yet if you go around the country and you ask people who the top football coaches are, they're going to, you know, tell you about the Urban Meyers and some of the other great top coaches in football. And so here you are toiling in obscurity, relatively speaking. Do you ever wonder about how you'll be remembered in terms of what you've contributed to the history of this game? And does it bother you at all that you don't get the attention at this level that other coaches do at upper levels of NCAA football?
Well, you first mentioned you won 193 games. First of all, to correct you, I did not win 193 games. We've had a great, great football staff over the years, many, many football coaches who've come and gone through our program. We've had incredible student athletes who've helped us win a lot of those games, obviously. The attention doesn't bother me. I'm not one who seeks attention and looks for attention. You know, when the time comes and I'm ready to retire, hopefully I'm remembered as a coach who did right by all the players and was fair. Hopefully they feel as though myself and my coaches put them in a position to win each and every week. Probably the thing I'm most proud of are the great men that we graduated from our football program. The great fathers that they've become, the great businessmen and engineers and doctors and lawyers, and how they've contributed to society. And, the world's better because of the young men that I've had the privilege and honor and blessing to coach. And so I that really is something that I would say personally I would want to be my legacy. The wins are great. No one likes to win more than me. Trust me, you just ask these kids out here on Saturday afternoon, the level of intensity that I display during a football game is incredible, and I love to win. But there's lots of ways to define winning. And when you graduate the kids that we graduate and see what they've been on, be able to accomplish in their lives, that's a sense of winning in my mind.
How long do you think you'll continue to coach?
It's hard to say. You know, God's blessed me with good health. I truly love coaching these young men. During the day, working on a computer all day doesn't thrill me. coming out here and having an opportunity to interact with 18 to 22 year olds. I've often said, I'm 59 years old, but at 4:30 in the afternoon, I turn into a 20-year-old again, because I feel like I do a great job relating to these young men, and so it's a blessing. It's hard to say. Certainly, there'll be a time when I will retire. I've got some things that I'd like to do, my bucket list, whatever you want to call it, but certainly the time will come, and I'll know when the time's right.
Rich Lackner has spent four decades at CMU as a player and coach, and he is the fifth winningest head coach in the history of NCAA Division III football. Coach Lackner, it's been a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Great. It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much for asking me to be interviewed and speaking with you today.
Coming up, a conversation with Pitt place kicker who's getting ready for one of the biggest games of the season against Notre Dame.
Really, it's just going out there. And not kicking with regret. You can't kick scared. You can't play scared. Because otherwise you start compromising, and then you'll mess up. And then you'll feel like you've left some on the field that you could have. So I'm just going out there, going 100%, 100 miles an hour. And if I mess up, I mess up.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.